The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give back to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's good to be back. I feel as if I've been back for a while, because in between my times away, I've been in the office. But it's been 3 weeks since I've been in worship with you, and it's a pleasure to be back and to see you again. In the time that has passed, we've gone from the beginning to now the end of October, and tomorrow, of course, being the big day, Halloween. I'm curious to know how many of you intend on dressing up in a costume. How many people have something that they're going, "See this, I got to tell you, this surprises me to see this many hands." At 8 o'clock, I asked the same question, and about four or five people put their hands up, and I was stunned. I'm pleased. I hope that it's going to go really well. I'm going to take a wild guess that I know what the most popular costumes are likely to be, because there's something about our culture every 4 years or so that gives people ideas for some really great costumes. My own costume, if I were going to a costume party this year, and I am not, would have involved dressing up. I've already thought this through. I wanted to be Michael Phelps 30 years later. So I'm thinking, you know, the baggy black swim trunks, you know, the vestiges of a little tattoo, you know. And you can just imagine, you know, how I'm starting to kind of, you know, sag and not look so good. And I thought, you know, I'd go in, I'd let my beard grow for a few days and go in chain smoking. Anyway, so, and there's many medals. So that was my costume. But I know there's a much more popular costume that people are likely to don, and that is either their favorite or the most notorious presidential candidates. It's that time. It's the time when the hopes and fears of all the years, as they say, come to the fore in our electoral process. And don't get me wrong in anything that I'm saying here, because I certainly do believe that ours is a great and important country, and that it matters who we vote for. That said, there are things that matter more. I think that it's important that each of us carefully consider which of the candidates that are before us most closely align with our own sense of what constitutes a healthy and realistic, competent leader for our country. And then I think that you ought to go to the polls and you ought to vote. And I think you ought to give it your best vote. Don't waste your vote. But then I think you ought to walk away from the polling station, with some peace in your mind, knowing that there are things more important than the outcome of this election. Something far, far more important. Who are you going to be for Halloween is less important than who we're going to be for the next 4 years. And I'm not talking about who our president is going to be. I'm talking about who we are going to be for the next 4 years. Imagine a best-case scenario in your head that your favored candidate not only prevails, but triumphs gloriously. Horse and rider are thrown into the sea, right? Your candidate prevails by a landslide. The work has just begun. What then? What happens next? Now, I think that this question is important to us because even though in our national life, over 200 years, there have, in fact, been presidential elections at least as contentious as this and more so. There has been nastiness that goes at least as far as the current election and more so. But in most of our lifetimes, this is about as divisive and extreme as we can remember. And what bothers me more than the unease that I feel and that I know many people feel with candidates themselves, what bothers me is the unease that I feel, and I think many folks feel, with who we are becoming as we plead our case for who should prevail in these elections. I'm worried that we will elect a president and the White House will be fine, and it will wake up the day after the election empty of the things that do, in fact, make America great right now. That concerns me. It concerns me because the real outcome of this election, the real outcome of our country, the real outcome of our lives lies not in the hands of the leader that we elect on November 8th, but rather in our own hands and who it is that we choose to be. Paul warns about the dangers of dividing ourselves, dividing the body of Christ into sects where some are for Paul and some are for Apollos. And he says all of us ought to be for Jesus Christ. That is the point for us Christians. We have a better message than either of our political candidates. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know who we are called to become. We are created in the image of God and yet more wonderfully restored into that image through Jesus Christ. And we hold within us the capacity to be people worthy of that call, not people who bicker and argue with each other and call each other names and belittle each other because we differ on the ideas about what's best for our national government. We have the capacity to show the world that we are Christians by our love. We have the capacity to invoke the power of God to change the world for the better if we listen to each other, if we perceive in each other, in the people who disagree with us, that they may have some ideas that are worthy of our consideration. And most importantly, that we see that image of God in each other, even in the people who seem to hold views that we consider almost loathsome. That we imagine that we have sisters and brothers in Christ. That's who we can be, not just this Halloween, but for the next 4 years and forever. The story of Zacchaeus is an important one. And I would say as an absolutely shameless plug for our Holy Land pilgrimage that will be coming up this month, the month of October, 1 year from now, that on that pilgrimage, our pilgrim guide, Eod, lives in the city of Jericho. It's thought to be the oldest still existing city in the world, the city of Jericho. He lives there, And as you enter the city of Jericho at this day, you come upon a park that has some very, very old sycamore trees. Now, whether you believe in the gospel of Jesus or whether you think it's all a bunch of baloney, what botanists will tell you about those trees, that grove of sycamore trees at the entrance to Jericho, is that they are, in fact, more than 2,000 years old. Which suggests the possibility, and I don't know if it literally happened or not, but what just makes a chill go down my spine is imagining the possibility that one of those sycamore trees that we saw is the one that Zacchaeus climbed so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus, so that he could see something so much more important than himself. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was rich, is what the gospel tells us. I'm imagining, in my mind's eye, I'm imagining someone kind of like, and I can't remember his name, but the, until recently, president of the Bank of America. Or not, Wells Fargo, excuse me. The president of Wells Fargo. Someone who's kind of got it all, but candidly, not well loved by the people. And this man, because he is short in stature, decides that he needs to climb the sycamore tree for the purpose of getting a better look at Jesus. And why does he do this? Is it because he's looking to see a celebrity? No. He's doing it because he knows who he is. He knows that he's got it all. He knows that he's got a ton of money, but he knows that he is not a good man. And he is looking to change who he is because he knows there's something more important. So he's climbed so that he can get a look at this guy, this Jesus who is coming into town, and so he can hear what Jesus has to say to him. I think that in this election cycle, as we come upon our election, many of us feel as if, as a people and as a country, we are lost. And so it's appropriate and maybe even prophetic that the gospel reading today concludes with these words, "The Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." And that's you and me. That is not just Zacchaeus. That is you and me. Zacchaeus climbed that tree because he knew he was lost. And Jesus, it says, pursued him because he had to. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." There is an urgency with which Jesus comes to us to make us a better people. You and I are invited to be saved. You and I are invited to be found by Jesus Christ. What sets Zacchaeus apart from all of the others, because they were good people, we think, but every other person in the crowd looked at this conversation between Zacchaeus and Jesus, and it says, all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Each one of them thinks that the problems that they have lie in the behavior of someone else. And that whole crowd, short, little, rich, smarmy Zacchaeus, is the only one who understands that the kingdom of God is come near and that it is his to grasp, but that it's necessary for him to climb up and see it. And it is necessary this year, as we vote, as we live our lives as citizens, as we live our lives as Christians, to reach out, not just wait to see if the right candidate wins and then groan that we could have done it a lot better. "I told you so. What an idiot you voted for." Instead, our job is to come together, be the people of God. And it sounds so complicated, but it can be made so straightforward. For one thing, we know, because we've been saying it for the last couple of years about our discernment exercise and compassion of justice, we remember the words of the prophet Micah, who says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Walking humbly is not a value that either of the parties right now is espousing. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And as complicated as the Christian life can be, it is reducible in many ways to what Christians call the summary of the law. If I can invite you, you know, we hardly ever use them anymore because everything's printed in the book, but there's a black book in front of you, a Book of Common Prayer. Maybe not in the choir. Maybe there is. Do you have a prayer book up there? Look at you. Well, you don't. Well, just play along. Pretend you got a copy of it. Good for you. Wow. Somebody's thinking ahead. Turn to page 324. Page 324. Who was smart enough to make you a copy? That's very good. Oh, nice. Look at that. Thinking ahead. I like that. The organist from 8 o'clock. She saw which way it was going. Okay. So I'm going to say the first line right at the top, and then I want to invite you to come in and say these words with me, because it's really, you know, we think it's so hard. It's really this. Everybody found it? 324? Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's really just as simple as that. Jesus gives us a new commandment that we love one another. For a lot of people in this country, the coming days involve fear, almost to the point of panic. Regardless of which candidate prevails, half the country is going to think that things went to hell in a handbasket. You and I know better. You and I know that we are called to be the ones who climb the tree. We are called to be the ones who know that we are lost, who submit to the love of Jesus Christ and become lights to the world. Vote and live well. Amen.